One of the big Japanese dreams during World War II was to start a giant forest fire in the Pacific Northwest. Conventional wisdom is that they failed at that despite several attempts. Conventional wisdom is almost certainly wrong. Hi, my name is Finn J.D. John. It's Tuesday, March 27th, and I'm reading a column from the archives of the weekly newspaper column I write, Offbeat Oregon History. I do this every day, or every weekday at any rate, and of course if you're already subscribed to this podcast, you know that. If you'd like to know more about this little daily podcast or about the newspaper column, stay tuned, or you can read the online archives at offbeatoregon.com. Today's column is an oldie. It ran in the newspapers on July 13th, 2009, under the headline, Did Japanese Balloon Bombs Start Tillamook Burn? Here we go. From where we sit today, it looks like the craziest, most desperate play imaginable. Japan, locked in battle with the U.S. on various Pacific islands, floats bombs on balloons over the Pacific Ocean in an attempt to light the forests of Oregon and Washington on fire. You likely are familiar with at least the basics of the story. Phosphorus bombs were attached to giant balloons made of waxed rice paper. One source suggests they were made using mulberry paper, but they were definitely paper. And launched on the prevailing winds, which blow across Japan and onto American shores. As you may also have heard, this program claimed the only American lives lost as casualties of war in the mainland U.S. during World War II, when a church picnic party found an unexploded bomb in the woods in 1945. It exploded, killing all but one. What isn't generally known is how sophisticated these balloons were. A balloon, in general, operates by maintaining a perfect balance between weight and lift. Too much weight? No flight, too much lift, and you're in orbit. So the balloons had sensors on board to monitor altitude. If the balloons got too low, weight would be dropped to get them back off the sea again. There was also a clock aboard. At a certain amount of elapsed time, the machine aboard would pop the balloon and drop the bomb. As you can imagine, such a level of complexity dropped the success rate well below 1%. At least we think it did. Thousands of balloons were launched at great expense, roughly $200 million for the whole program, to score a few dozen strikes on a howling wilderness. How could that possibly make sense? Two words, Tillamook Burn. Remember, this program was launched in 1944. 11 years earlier, in 1933, the first and most devastating wildfire broke out in the early afternoon of August 14th in the Tillamook Forest, when a logging outfit in Washington County tried to snake just a few more logs out of a high-lead operation on Giles Creek. It was, of course, dragline logging. The friction of one of the logs getting winched to the log landing heated some forest duff until it burst into flames. And by the time the autumn rains had come, 12.5 billion board feet of top-shelf old-growth timber was gone. 6 years later, in 1939, it happened again. Started in almost exactly the same place by the same cause. People started talking of a 6-year jinx. The 6th year after that would be 1945. And in fact, the forest did catch fire again on July 10th, 1945. And again in July of 1951. Yep, that's every 6 years. But the 1945 fire is particularly interesting. More than 200,000 acres of the old burn plus 30,000 acres of green new forest went up in smoke in 1945. It might have been put out much faster, but America was still at war with Japan at the time, so there wasn't as much manpower available as there had been for earlier fires or for later ones. By July of 1945, the balloon bomb program had been halted for a couple months already. Hard as it is to believe, the Japanese started the program just as the rainy season commenced in Pacific Northwest forests, and sent hundreds of would-be fire starters on their way across the Pacific Ocean all winter long, at a time when you couldn't start a forest fire if you had 1,000 gallons of kerosene to do it with. Then they gave up the program just as the sun started coming out and drying up the forest. It's probably safe to assume that if the Japanese had started this program in April and continued it through October rather than the other way around, history would have been a little bit different, and the balloon bomb program wouldn't have been such a near-total failure. But was it really a failure? In marked contrast to the 1933 and 1939 fires, this blaze broke out very early in the fire season, in early July, and information about the source of the burn is hard to come by for some reason. What is known is simply that it was near the Salmonberry River, a tributary of the Nehalem, in a spot that's virtually inaccessible. Could it be that the Japanese balloon bomb program actually did light the forest on fire 2 months after the Japanese had given up on the plan as a failure? We'll probably never know, but it's an interesting possibility. You've been listening to an Offbeat Oregon History Archive column. If you'd like more, you can read hundreds of columns from the last 4 years or so on our website at offbeatoregon.com. On the website, you can also subscribe to get these podcasts delivered directly to your smartphone every day via RSS or iTunes. If you're into history geekery, be sure also to check out the Facebook and Twitter feeds as well. All my stuff is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. See offbeatoregon.com/cc for details. If you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of something at the Beanery, look me up. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.